And to honor them, you know, but they was like, no, you know, you're the guest, you got to get up there. And it was just, I don't know, there's not much more you can say. It was just awesome, and you have to go and you have to experience it for yourself to see it. But it's amazing. And the last night, the song they were singing was I Believe the Church of the Lord is Being Established, Lifted High for the World to See. And in the house he's building on the top of Mount Zion, Jesus included me. And all I could think of was, in this work that he's building in Dominican Republic, Jesus included me. He allowed me to be a part of that, to meet some more of the family. And I maybe a year or a couple years ago, I don't know, I remember telling that God had dealt with me about knowing him, when I had been reading through my Bible and different things that stood out, and really knowing God. And I compared it to a natural relationship with my husband when we started dating and courting. The way I got to know him was partly spending time with him and, you know, getting just talking. But then some time would come along, I would meet some people he worked with, and I'd learn something about him. I'm sorry. Oh, yes. That's Guerrero. That's the tin. That's a little, it's like a tree trunk that they'd cut down, that middle pole, painted white, and just held up the middle. Yep. I think did they have a concrete floor? I think they had a concrete floor there, yeah. The other place just had dirt and gravel. And just holes cut out for windows and doors. Yeah, it was awesome, but I was thinking I got to know him partly by knowing him, but then partly I'd meet somebody he worked with, and I'd learn something new about him, and then I'd meet his family, and I learned more about him, you know, how he grew up and stuff, and then I'd meet an old friend from school, and I'd learn something new, and it was like, I didn't just get to know him just talking to him, but getting to know other people around him and relationships, I learned more. And I felt that same way about God, that you learn more and you get to know God more by meeting more people and getting out and seeing what God's doing and not just being isolated in your little area. And so I felt like going to Dominican, that was just a whole new side of God that I hadn't seen before, to get to see how he's working with those people and touching their lives. And it was awesome. It was awesome. I've never been to Haiti. I always wanted to go when Brother Lenny was going over there, but this was, I mean, we did visit a Haitian church, and it was like being in Haiti. I mean, you know, you just, it was the same as, and then the Haitian brothers coming over, and it was amazing. I know I keep saying that, but it really, that's no other way to say it. It was amazing. It was amazing. We enjoyed getting to know Brother Mark and Sister Sherry a lot better. Had some really good times with them, sitting and waiting and learning patience. Ethan was a good fella. He handled, I know he didn't have playgrounds and a lot of toys and stuff, and there was a lot of long drives and a lot of long services sitting on them benches and plastic chairs, and I remember seeing him just fall asleep, leaned over in the chair there. He didn't whine and complain, did a good job. So we really, really appreciated getting to know more of God's people.
I guess the good thing about speaking last is I can just say ditto to everyone, what everybody else said. I just wanted to get up because everybody else did pretty much cover everything, but I wanted to say how blessed I was to be able to get to go. When we'd hear, you know, Brother Smith would come back and tell us about how they would praise the Lord and worship the Lord, and how it would, you know, put us to shame, and it offended me, you know. But once you get down there and you see how they praise God and how they worship the Lord with all of their heart, all of their soul, their entire body. It does. It does. It puts us to shame. It does. I was very humbled by the churches that we visited and the experiences that I had, and it was awesome. you need to go if you can get a chance to go. It would bless you to see them and see how they worship the Lord.
There. I accidentally had the mute on. I'm sorry. Praise the Lord. Well, it was a great blessing to have them with us on this trip. I actually need help, Sister Smith. Was it 2001 or 2002 when we went? 2001. So... But God has done a lot over there in the last 8 years. And it was in February of 2001. There's, you know, new churches coming in. Brother Weiniger asked me if we had any particular theme we was working on as far as a message over there. I told him no, because every church is on a different level of growth, and I just had to get on their level. Wherever I was at, I have to try to remember where they're at, how long they've been in this, and what they know. You know, when you're trying to establish churches, get them on a foundation of understanding the Word of God and the plan of God, and then our message of this body to understand what not only God has done. It's important. Some of the services, I know, they especially at night when we were in Babado. We didn't get there till after 8 o'clock, around 8 o'clock, and then we were there, had service probably till 10:30, and then we left to drive back home, which are back where we were staying in La Romana, 2 hours. And for churches to in the night service, you generally are trying to have something evangelistic. But when I'm over there, I'm only there so many times. I can only be with them when I'm there. And so sometimes at night I just have to take time out to teach the Word of God and try to help establish people in their understanding. If you don't, if you're not built on a proper foundation, you'll never be established in the things of God. And one of the things that I always start out with those churches over there is to help them see that the New Testament church fell away and went into obscure darkness. The Bible shows that actually there was no life in the Word of God down through the dark ages. By the time it reached the organized Catholic Church, there wasn't any life. The rider of the pale horse was death, and hell followed after it. And So they have to be established on that understanding to realize that the church fell away. If you start trying to read the Bible, I know I used those two scriptures. I'll give them here right quick. In James, the fifth chapter, how James is talking. Here's two scriptures that seem to be controversial. If you don't understand the Bible, they certainly would look that way. James, if you look in the very first verse, first chapter, it reveals who he's writing to. It says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. This was to Jewish Christians, the Jews that had come into the body of Christ of the 12 tribes of Israel. James is writing to Jews. You've got to understand when you're reading the New Testament who he's talking to, if he's talking to Jews or Gentiles. Because there is a difference. Even though Jesus broke down the middle wall of partition and made a way for Gentiles to come in, it's important to realize God had been dealing with the Jews for 2,000 years. And the Gentiles just came in. So they were ignorant, worshipers of idols, ignorant of the things of God. They didn't have the history, the law, and the prophets, and they weren't able to receive the things of God on the same level as Jews. It took a while. It took time. As a matter of fact, the gospel went out among the whole Gentile world. That's why that's why it had to fall away. Had to go down on a level of real primitive, where very little understanding was there. But if you turn over to the fifth chapter of James, James is telling these 12 tribes. In verse 7, he said, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh." Here's a man of God in the New Testament church, and had a sevenfold light, had a complete understanding of God's purpose and plan for that day. They were in a divine order of God. They weren't lacking. They didn't come out of a church world that had fell away and went into darkness, but they had a sevenfold light of God in that church back there, and he was telling them, look, Jesus is coming soon. Now, Jesus came on the day of Pentecost, and he had been with them. James wrote this letter somewhere around A.D. 45, A.D. 50. So this was about, maybe 12 to 15 years after the day of Pentecost. So he knew Jesus came on the day of Pentecost. He knew that's something about the coming of the Lord. The Christian world doesn't understand. They think Jesus might come tonight. You go listen to preachers and even big coliseums. They'll be preaching and scaring people half to death, telling them, you better get in these altars because Jesus may come tonight for the church. Which is a lie. Jesus is not coming tonight. Here's a preacher. At least I can put in with the Apostle Paul when he said, Jesus is not coming. He said, until there's a falling away. 2 Thessalonians 2. And I know it's been, almost 2,000 years since he preached that. I can tell you Jesus is coming, but he's not coming tonight. There's too much to be fulfilled yet. There's scriptures that hadn't been fulfilled. He might come for you. You may not make it through the night. I may not. Jesus told his disciples, your time's always, but mine hadn't yet come. And so, but James understood that the Lord was reaping a harvest of the early and latter rain of the early church harvest. That the New Testament world, the end of the Jewish world, God was reaping a harvest out of it. He told his disciples, said, you're going to reap where you sowed not. There's a reaping. There's something going to take place. God's going to come and make up part of his bride right out of this New Testament church. And the Bible said Jesus came to his own, but his own received him not. But as many as did receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And the whole world, Paul said, the whole world's waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. And back there, that world saw a manifestation of God, of the sons of God, that moved into a completeness, a fullness of God. And God reaped a harvest back there. And James was telling them, look, he's waited. He's been patient. You be patient. God's not finished yet. He's not through. He's going to get all of his, he's going to get every precious grain, all the precious fruit. He's going to get out of this harvest, and when he's finished, he's going to come in judgment. And in AD 70, God came. He came to his own, but they received him not. And those that didn't receive him and rejected him, he said, they that, how did he say that? That if you're ashamed of me, then I'll be ashamed of you before my Father. And so the gospel was given to the Gentiles because there was a full manifestation of God and it was rejected. Those who received it received power to become the sons of God. They became overcomers. They made the bride of Christ and they finished their course in God. And at the same time that the 12 apostles were reaping a harvest, there was an apostle Paul that was planting the seed of God among the Gentiles that really wouldn't come up for another harvest for 2,000 years. And here we are down here. I thank God, Brother Talley, when I'm living. We're living in a time where God's restoring the church. But here he was telling them, the Lord's coming soon. He's telling that to Jews. He meant, I'm coming, I'm not just coming for my bride, but I'm coming in judgment also. In AD 70, he judged that world. His wrath was poured out. Israel was destroyed and annihilated. God rejected that and turned to the Gentiles. And now, turn to the 2 Thessalonians and look what Paul, here's another apostle, but he's talking to a different group of people. In the second chapter of 2 Thessalonians, he writes them concerning the coming of the Lord. He said, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come. Except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Here's a man saying the opposite of what James was saying to the Jews. Jesus is coming soon. He's winding up this work. Here the Apostle Paul is telling the Gentiles, Jesus is not coming soon. Don't let anybody confuse you on this. He's not coming in judgment for the Gentiles. But there's going to be a falling away of the church. And the man of sin first must be revealed. And so he was showing that there would be, the church would go into darkness. The church would have a long journey through a cold, dark wilderness. And if you follow church history, you can see that. But it's amazing to see how that the Lord, when it became time, you know, everything happens in God's time. God has a time and a season for everything. And when it became his time, I'll tell you some things that is amazing to me. Did y'all know that when when the Reformation started, or when God started the Protestant movement, when God began to raise up reformers like Wycliffe, Huss, and Martin Luther, men like that, when he began to raise them up, did you know there wasn't any inventions? There was no inventions for almost 1,500 years. Did you know when God began to raise them up, he invented paper. He invented a pencil. Man, God put that in people's minds. And then the printing press was invented, and God had, the Bibles were still in Latin, chained to pulpits in Catholic churches all over the world. Nobody could read one. That's one of the things Martin Luther was saying. We've got to get this thing in people's hands where they can read it. They got to know what this is saying. God touched his mind. He saw in the scriptures that there was something that faith would do when you read the word of God. It would quicken your life. It'd touch you. And God, by his spirit, could cause you to believe and faith rise up in your heart. And he said, we've got to get this in people's hands, and they've got to be able to read it. They were singing songs in Latin. He said, we got to get this. We got to get this changed. It's got to get over into German. We got to get it in a language where the people can read it. And God and inventions began to be made. Not in the church. Look, just like right now, all this stuff that's going on, all this technology that's taking place. Well, I got it right here. I got a GPS, Bible. I got telephone. I got internet right here in this little old my hand right here. You think man did that for man? I got you. I'll have you know something. God's working. God's working. The Lord's preparing something. It's for his people. Well, if it wasn't for God's people, he'd already destroyed the world. But God's put it in the mind of people to do his will. Hallelujah. And before God's finished, he's going to do a quick work and cut it short in righteousness. A great harvest is going to take place down in the end of this world. God had great invention, had man make inventions. My God, Paul went on a boat, took off on a boat, took him a year, sometimes 2 years, just to make a circle. No further than I went in just one day up there and one day back, Brother Daniels. In eight days, we covered as much territory as Paul could cover in a year. God's going to do something quick down here. It's going to be a much greater, larger work down here that God's going to accomplish. Look, we've got to reach the world that God wants to make up the remainder of his bride in. And then there's 1,000 years out ahead of that. When God finishes this harvest, he's got 1,000 years that the bride in Jesus Christ is going to cause every nation, every knee is going to bow, every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Nations are going to give up their governments. They're going to say, we're going to follow Jesus. Hallelujah. We're going to follow the word of God. Bless his wonderful name. By the end of 1,000 years, the whole world will be righteous. They'll be walking in his righteousness. Hallelujah. And so, by the time these reformers, God put it in their minds, began to quicken them, and the word of God began to be restored. He didn't restore it all at once. This is too big of a plan to restore all at once. He's just given it to us as we can receive it. And that's why you got to stay in a condition. You got to stay flexible. Brother Langer said you got to be flexible. Because you got to be ready to change. There's some things that God's gave us. There's other things we don't know. We hadn't known. We hadn't been able to explain or understand. God's revealing them today. God's revealing more. There's a lot more understanding, a lot more knowledge that's coming forth right now in the Spirit. And before God's done, we'll have a sevenfold life. We'll be back in the holy place where there's a sevenfold light of God. The seven spirits of God will be working. The gifts of the Spirit will all work. But, man, we're going to have to get rid of, you can't have on a fleshly garment to go in there. The high priest had to change to a white linen garment. You got to get on the right kind of clothing. You got to have the right spirit in other. You got to get rid of the spirit of man, this spirit of ideology, this spirit of politics that's in every religious group and every religious system that's out here in Christianity. I'm not worried about the other religions; they're false. But in the house of God, judgment must first begin at the house of God, Peter said. We got to get cleaned up. God wants his people cleaned up. You got to be willing to get cleaned up. Hallelujah. God is going to have a church, a glorious church, without a spot, a blemish, a wrinkle, or any such thing. Hallelujah. God knows how to do that. If we'll yield ourselves, he'll get us clean. He'll put us through a process. He gets through with us. When we go in to this sevenfold light, you know, when Adam and Eve was in the garden, there was no sin in the garden. You couldn't sin in there. You couldn't eat of that tree of knowledge of good and evil. That was Adam. Man is the only thing that can invent good or evil. He was the tree. We're to be trees of righteousness in the kingdom of God. And Adam, he wasn't to partake of that tree. He wasn't to do his own will. He wasn't to think with his own mind. He was to follow the instructions of the Lord. God wants us to get back to a place just like that. He wants us to get back in the garden, back in paradise. You know, paradise is not heaven. It's not somewhere out of here, but it's the church that's in the divine order of God. God wants us to work and operate in that. And Adam was in a place, he had enough of the power of God and knowledge of God to live and walk above sin. And he couldn't. He had enough light. Look, when you got enough light, I love that illustration Brother Leniger gave of Sister Leniger and him in the motorhome. When she had in there wiring and she had on this light cream colored dress, she's getting it all ready for church that night. Pulled it out of the closet, held it up, had her duster on. She ironed that and hung it up over on a cabinet door hinge or whatever. What do you call them things? Pull. Handle. He hung it up, you know, she had it ready for church. Well, he'd been outside in Florida in the Florida sun. I'm going to tell you, over in the Dominican Republic, I asked him, I said, "You notice how much brighter it is over here?" You know, we're closer to the sun. We're closer to the equator. I'm telling you, it is bright over there outside. It's really bright. You'll know, it's one of the things you'll notice on a sunshiny day. Even the clouds are brighter. And Brother Leniger had been outside down there in Florida and had her motorhome parked. He walked in, and man, you know how it is when you walk in somewhere bright and it's just dark. It hits your eyes. Your pupils haven't dilated to take in more light. They open up, but it takes a few minutes for to gather the light, what little light's in darkness. Man, he went in and started feeling around. You know, he's blind. He turned on every light in there. Sister Leniger looked at, she walked by and seen that dress. She looked at it again. She said, "My Lord, I'm glad you turned on these lights." She said, "I was going to wear that dress to church tonight, and it's absolutely filthy." She said, "Look at all this on there." She got her some, you know how women will do? They go licking their finger first thing. I don't know what the deal is on that, but if that don't work, they'll get them a wash rag and some water. But first they try their finger. And you know, yeah, it works if you ain't, you know, but if that don't work, they'll get water. But she couldn't get anything to work. She finally just had to put it in the dirty clothes and get her something else to wear. Brother Leniger went to church that night and he preached on a white robe. He preached on washing your robes and making them white in the blood of the Lamb. I'll tell you one thing, it's not red blood that'll make a robe white. The blood of Jesus represented the life of the sacrifice. It represented the Holy Ghost life that he had, that he laid down for you and I. And the Holy Ghost, that Holy Ghost life will cleanse your life if you'll yield over to it. If you'll let the Holy Ghost work in your life, it'll clean you up. But his thought was, The more light you've got, the more you can see. The more you can see what's wrong. The more you can see what you need to work on. The more God can show you. And so when we get in a sevenfold light, the more light we have, the more revelation, the more vision that we've got, the more we've got, the more understanding that turns into. Light is understanding. And so God is turning on the lights. God's turned up the light. Praise God. The Bible says He's the light of the world. But the world loved darkness more than light. There's some people don't want the truth. They don't want to hear it. They don't want, you know, they'd rather hear the old traditional things. Don't get me out of my comfort zone. You know, don't preach something I ain't never heard before because I ain't got time to adjust. And I don't want to have to adjust. I'm comfortable right here on this side of Jordan. I don't want to have to get old, go across the old muddy Jordan and have to get over there and fight the ites in the land. You can get comfortable in your walk with God before God wants you to be comfortable. You can say, I'm tired and I'm weary, but I must go on. As the old song says, you got to go on. But anyway, Paul in 2 Thessalonians 2, in the 5th verse, he says, "Remember you not when I was with you, I told you these things." So he was just reminding them. Sometimes things will slip. Paul, matter of fact, was there. If you go back in Acts, you'll see that he was just there with them 3 Sabbath days. He wasn't in Thessalonica very long. They didn't have time to learn much. But don't you know, I'm going to tell you something. In 3 weeks, in 21 days, he poured it on them if they got all of that. While he was with them, they understood the church was going to fall away and what was going to happen, who's going to be set up, and don't look for Jesus is coming. And they got the plan of salvation and got that far behind it. Brother, he throwed out big chunks of meat to them. They had bread, old big loaves of lead. They're still pinching. They're still eating on it after he left. In fact, they wrote him back and said, "We can't eat all this. We can't get some of this in our mouth. We don't understand this." So he wrote them again. And then he wrote them again after he wrote his first letter. He wrote them back another one. It's obvious there were things they didn't understand in his answers to them. And he said, now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. He's talking about the man of sin. For, he said, the mystery of iniquity, verse 7, doth already work. In other words, iniquity was already working. There was already a lot of falsehood, false prophets. John said, "Believe not every spirit, for many false prophets are gone out among you." There was already heresy and false things that were coming in. You know, Gentiles were getting this. They were getting part of the message, but then that came together with their ideology. And then, look, let's don't throw off on them too bad, because every one of us, when we embrace the plan of God, we get a little bit of it, and then our mind goes to work, and we think, "Oh, well, it must be this way." And then somebody will add something to it and say, "No, it ain't that way. Here's how it is." And they say, "Oh, okay, well, then the rest of this must go this way." And then, you know, and we go to adding to it. And this iniquity here, the mystery of iniquity, that's not talking about wickedness. I mean, in it, as far as just outright sin. But it's talking about false ideas. It's when you do your own will. It's like eating of that tree of knowledge of good and evil. You can't do that. In the kingdom of God, you finally got to quit eating that and just start eating the tree of life. Just trust Him. Just say, "God, I don't know nothing." Like Paul said, "I don't know nothing save Jesus and Him crucified." That's all I know. He just, in other words, "I'm preaching what Jesus gave out and what's revealed to me, but I'm not adding to it." But he said, "Only he who now letteth will let till he be taken out of the way." That's a difficult part of that verse. It means he that hindereth will hinder. You'll probably have that in your center column reference, transcribing the Greek there. And it's talking about God. God would hinder this iniquity from causing the church to fall away until God was taken out of the way. Until he allowed, he will hinder. He'll keep that. Just like today in the Bible study this morning, in the seventh chapter of the book of Revelation, the four angels holding back the four winds until God seals his servants in their foreheads. God was hindering the church from falling away until he had accomplished what he was going to accomplish. And then he let it go. He let it go on into darkness. It was necessary. That's how God does it. And he's done me that way. There's been a lot of times that, you know, when I embraced what I thought God was saying to me, God just, you know, and I said, okay, God, give me the reins. I got this deal. I mean, put me back in charge. Let me have the reins. You ever done that? You're serving God, said, oh, God, help me. Please, there's a runaway team. The horses are running away with me. Take the reins, do something. Help me, my life's in a wreck. Everything's going wrong. God says, all right, give me the reins. I'll take them. He gets the reins, gets a hold of your life. Things starts running smooth again. In a little while, God starts helping. He moves in. His blessings are on you. He said, give me the reins back, God. I can do it now. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Well, he'll just give them to you. I'm telling you, that's just my Jesus. He don't push himself. He's just like a dove. He just meek. He's there if you woo him. If you want him, he's there. But if you want to take over, he'll just say, here, you think you can do this? Go ahead. But in a little while, you'll be hollering, Jesus, take the reins again. I didn't really want them. I just thought I wanted them. Well, that's how he did the Gentile. He just, you know, they had it. They had the ball. They said, we're going to run with it. And he let them run with it till they run it into the ground. And they said, we're going to lose this game. We're going to lose. And a few men start saying, God, we need help. And God said, it's time. Finally, y'all run this thing. You run your strength out to the end. Now I'll show you the way. And God started working with reformers. He began to work with men. That's how the Protestant movement came about. The bad part about it is that they got revelation, but then it organized revelation. God would jump off of that. In the Songs of Solomon, it said, he leapeth upon the hills and on the mountains and jumpeth across the hills. On the hills and leapeth on the mountains. Skippeth over the hills and leapeth on the mountains. Hills are high places. They're swells in the earth. It's religion. You know, anything that's higher than just, you know, the lowly place in the earth, if it's a high place, it gets you higher up off the earth, and a mountain gets you way up high. You stand up on top of a mountain, you'll notice a difference in temperature, and you'll notice a lot of things different, and your vision's a lot further. And, you know, anything that God's touch will lift you up higher. Men form mountains. Babylon is called a mountain in the Bible. It's false religion, but it's a mountain nonetheless. It's a high place. People exalt it, live it up high. It's influenced many people's lives. Religion influences people's lives. And God intends for it to, but he doesn't intend for it to stay a work of man. He intends for us finally to follow him all the way into Mount Zion, where the true pattern of the church was given. And so iniquity had to be, but then God began to give revelation, and the church has been in a restoring mode, the Protestant movement, then the Pentecostal movement in 1901, and for a little over 100 years. I say 1903 is when it actually was established and moving completely forward, until 2003. And I think we're out of the Pentecostal era. I know there's some people still in the Protestant world, but He kept moving. He didn't stay back there. He moved on. He restored Pentecost. And he's not going to stay there. There has to be a divine order of God to accomplish what God wants accomplished. He's going to call all his people together in one body, one faith, one spirit, where there's just one Lord and one Father above all. Hallelujah. Through all and in us all. God's going to keep moving until he finishes. Until he finally, there's an atmosphere created that'll save you unto immortality. Praise God. I'm saved. I'm full of the Holy Ghost. But there's still Adam working in me that I want to get rid of. I haven't finished my course yet. God's still working on me. And I want to stay in this work of God, in the process, until I can do like the Apostle Paul said when he said, I have fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I've finished my course. And he said, there is therefore now laid up for me a crown of righteousness. And not for me only, but for them also who love his appearing. I don't mean love, and we're love. We've got to love to see Jesus come back again, you know, personally or individually. I don't want to see Jesus individually unless I'm ready for it. I want to see him come right here in this old man first. I want him to appear in me. I want to put on the robe of righteousness. I want to be clothed with the same nature of Christ. I want to walk in his shoes. He was the firstborn among many brethren. We're to be conformed to the image of the Son of God. Hallelujah. I want to get there. I'm headed for that promised land. Hallelujah. I'm loving the appearing. He's appearing in my life, and I love it. What did John say? He said, beloved, what manner, blessed, how did he say that? What manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. And we know not what we shall be. This is in the third chapter of 1 John. We know not what we shall be, but we know when he appears, we shall be like him. That's the appearing Paul was talking about, is when you get to be like him. When he appears, we shall be like him. Well, I want to be like him. I want that appearing to take place in my life. And look at verse 8 in 2 Thessalonians 2 again, in the 8th verse. This is, to me, excuse me, this is a really magnificent scripture, because it covers such a great period of time. It says, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord, now look at this, he's going to reveal the man of sin, the son of perdition. There's going to be a beast system set up down here, saints. That's what I'm telling you. The Lord's not coming because there's too much prophecy that's got to be fulfilled. And the man of sin's got to be revealed. That wasn't talking about during the dark ages, but down here. Not only there, but down here, there has to be there's a beast system that's rising up. There's a seventh head of the beast. Excuse me, let me get this out of my throat. I've got something more to say. It almost makes me want to believe, you know, the devil's doing that to me, but I know better. It's just my throat. There's a beast system rising up out here. There has to be a seventh head of the beast that's going to rise up. And the whole world they're going to build an image to the beast. There's already been a beast system rose up. There's already been six heads. And then the sixth head, the whole world wandered after the beast. But there's a seventh head. There's an image to the beast that's going to be built. And once again, the world's going to wander after that. But look, Isaiah said, in that day, the branch of the Lord would be beautiful. So God, the beast system may be coming together, and there may be a one world religious, civil, pine religious system coming together out here, but the people of God are going to come together too. God's going to gather His people together in one. And they're not even going to see what God's doing. It'll be as it was in the days of Noah. They'll be eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage. In other words, the Lord is coming. He was coming in Noah's day in a flood, and they just were eating, drinking, marrying, giving. It wasn't paying any attention what the prophet Noah was saying or doing. They just went on, oh, we've all heard all that you got to say about that. We don't believe that. They just went right on with their lives. One day, the ark, the door of the ark shut, and it started raining. I'm going to tell you, the Lord's coming down here in the end of this world, and His coming's going to take time. He's not coming to take the church out of here like that. But He's first coming in the church. He's going to manifest Himself in the church to the world. He's going to first judge the church. The church has got to be made righteous. There's going to be something that this world has got to see that they've never seen, a move of God like. Don't you know something's got to happen to change this world? I'm telling you, the Lord is coming. He's not coming to take anybody out of here yet. He's coming to manifest Himself in a people. And this system out here that's rising up, that's deceiving people, it's got to be revealed. Just like Jesus and His apostles revealed that system of religion in the Jewish world that rose up and joined together with Pilate and that Roman world, the Caesars of that world, and tried to stamp the church out and put out the truth of God's word. The church rose up and gained victory over that. They tried to stop it, but there was no way of stopping. I was telling them in the Dominican Republic, when I first went over there, they invited me to preach on the radio station. And so I went on there, and so this guy got to talking to me, disc jockey, and or whatever you call them, announcer. And he said, they tell me, Brother Green, see, here's the problem. Brother Green said, this man can tell you any question you got to ask in the Bible. He can answer your questions. The problem was, Brother Green just didn't know what questions to ask. There's things in the Bible I couldn't answer, but he didn't know that. I just knew more him than he knew that. He said he can answer any question in the book of Revelation. So this guy got on that. He said, well, let's have the people call in and ask questions. They asked me, said, you willing for that? And I said, yeah, let them call in and ask questions. And but the announcer had me on, and he got to asking me questions, and the phone board was just lit up with me talking on the air, but he wouldn't answer a call. He got so excited, he wanted to do all the question asking. We went for 2 hours, and he didn't even answer a call. He told him, y'all call back tomorrow, we're going to have him back. Said, I'm going to take today, and y'all can have tomorrow. Well, man, he was promoting me and everything, but when they found out what I began to preach, those preachers in town turned against me. And when they did, they turned the radio station against me. And the radio station started telling people I was a false prophet and saying all kinds of damnable things about me. You know what happened? I left home. You know what happened to that radio station? It burnt to the ground. And so they went to rebuilding it. And about 2 years later, I noticed it was still closed down. I said, Brother Green, I thought they was rebuilding that radio station. He said, Brother Smith, he said, there's something they found wrong with their FCC license, and they took their license away from them. They closed the thing down, and they can't never open it back, what they're telling us. And it still ain't open today. They shut that thing down. I'm going to tell you, I'm not anybody, but I'm just going to tell you, you start fighting God. You start coming against God. You can't stop God. I don't care what you do, you can't stop Him. God's going to have a church. Anyway, this 8th verse says, "And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of His mouth." You know what God's mouth is? It's His ministry. You know how He destroyed the beast system of the early church? He had a ministry that revealed. You know, they was going along good until Jesus started telling everybody about them. Said, look at them. Said they dress in these big robes. They've got these big phylacteries. And said they say, but they don't do. He started pointing out everything that was wrong with them. Y'all want me to get this finished, don't you? All right, thanks. They back there, they begin to reveal. And those 12 apostles, they'd go into cities. Paul would go into a city and they'd let him in the synagogues. He'd start preaching. When he got to Berea, that's why he left Thessalonica in 3 weeks. They run him out of town. He didn't just go there and say, "Well, I've got to go, boys. I'm just going to be here 3 weeks." He was setting in for a good long stay, going to build a big church. But they told him, they said, "Hey, they're coming to hang you, buddy. You're going to cut your head off. You better get out of town." He was a hit and run preacher. He was bootlegging the gospel. It was against the law to do what he is doing. I got news for you. And in this world, it'll be against the law for a true man of God to preach too. Right now, they're trying to shut them down. You can't preach against homosexuality. You can't preach against anything that's unrighteous. Before this is over with, they're just going to say, just pat everybody, every sinner on the head and tell them they're all going to heaven. You can't preach against sin. If you do, we'll put you in jail. We'll shut you down. Matter of fact, if you don't join the system, they'll make it against the law to preach the gospel, just like they did back there. But there's going to be men just like Paul and Silas. There's going to be men in there in the jailhouse. They're going to be singing, what was that song, Sister Lynette? What, the one you said was, you know, here they was in a terrible place singing it. In Barbado, what was it? He's my Savior. He has done so much for me. In there in a jailhouse. He opened my ears that I might hear, and He opened my eyes that I might see. About that time, the angels are going to show up. The bars are going to open up. Somebody's going to say, "Get out of here, boy, and go preach the gospel." Hallelujah. Look, God's going to have something in this world that's going to shake the world before He's finished. He's going to have a gospel that's going to do great work. It's going to change people's lives. Right now, people are just, you know, they're not getting the whole power of God in their life. But I'll tell you, there's something coming. There's something coming that's going to change lives. God, the power of God is going to begin to work and change people's lives forevermore. Hallelujah. Bless His holy name. It said they would consume this system with the spirit of His mouth and destroy it with the brightness of His coming. Look, when God illuminates, when God reveals, men of God begin to get a clear understanding of what will change lives. When they speak, the Word of God will begin to follow them up and back them up. Because they're not playing right. They're not playing politics. They're not playing righteousness. They really got themselves dedicated and under submission to the Lord Jesus Christ. God's work begins to take place. Hallelujah. And the brightness, God's revelation, is going to begin to work. Illuminate people's lives. Hallelujah. And cause them to see His goodness and to see His working and what He's going to do. What He is doing. I believe saints are going to have so much revelation that people are going to gather around them. Just say, tell us about this Jesus. Not the old religious Jesus of Christianity we heard, but tell us about this Jesus that has power to save. Hallelujah. That's His holy name. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. There's something coming, saints. Don't settle for anything less. Don't settle for anything less than the full plan of God, the great power of God, the sevenfold light of God. Hold out until you see the same church that's in this New Testament working at the end of this world. Hallelujah. It's coming. I tell you, it's coming. Hallelujah. Bless His holy name. Hallelujah. 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 Glory be to God.
The glory of the Lord shall return again. He's coming to a people who's overcome sin. The gifts of the Spirit made manifest in them. The glory of the Lord shall return again. Oh, the glory of the Lord shall return again. He's coming to a people who've overcome sin. The gifts of the Spirit made manifest in them. The glory of the Lord shall return again. The glory of the Lord shall return again. He's coming to a people who've overcome sin. The gifts of the Spirit are manifest in them. The glory of the Lord shall return again. Turn again. He's coming to a people of all our country. The gifts of the Spirit are manifest in men. The glory of the Lord shall return again. Oh, the glory of the Lord shall return again. He's coming to a people who overcome sin. The gifts of the Spirit made manifest through men. The glory of the Lord shall return again. Oh, the glory of the Lord shall return again. Oh, He's coming to a people who overcome sin. The gifts of the Spirit made manifest through them. Oh, the glory of the Lord shall return again. The glory of the Lord shall return again. He's coming to a people who've overcome sin. The gifts of the Spirit made manifest through men. The glory of the Lord shall return again. The glory of the Lord shall return again. He's coming to a people who've overcome sin. The gifts of the Spirit are manifest through men. The glory of the Lord shall return again. Oh, the glory of the Lord shall return again. He's coming to a people who've overcome sin. The gifts of the Spirit may manifest through men. The glory of the Lord shall return again. Oh, the glory of the Lord shall return again. Yes, He's coming to the people who've overcome sin. The gifts of the Spirit may manifest through men. The glory of the Lord shall return again. Yes, the glory of the Lord shall return again. He's coming to the people who've overcome sin. The gifts of the Spirit may manifest through men. Oh, the glory of the Lord shall return again. The glory of the Lord shall return again. He's coming to a people who overcome sin. The gifts of the Spirit manifest through men. The glory of the Lord shall return again. The glory of the Lord shall return again. He's coming to a people who overcome sin. The gifts of the Spirit may manifest through men. Oh, the glory of the Lord shall return again. The glory of the Lord shall return again.
He's coming to a people who
within. The gifts of the Spirit made manifest through men. The glory of the Lord shall return again. Oh, the glory of the Lord shall return again. He's coming to a people who've overcome sin. The gifts of the Spirit made manifest through men. Oh, the glory of the Lord shall return again. The glory of the Lord shall return again. He's coming to a people who've overcome sin. The gifts of the Spirit. The glory of the Lord shall return again. The glory of the Lord shall return again. He's coming to a people who've overcome sin. The gifts of the Spirit may manifest through men. The glory of the Lord shall return again. Oh, the glory of the Lord shall return again. He's coming to a people who've overcome sin. The gifts of the Spirit may manifest to men. The glory of the Lord shall return again. Oh, the glory of the Lord shall return again. Oh, he's coming to a people who've overcome sin. The gifts of the Spirit may manifest to men. The glory of the Lord shall return again. Oh, the glory of the Lord shall return again. He's coming to a people who have overcome sin. The gifts of the Spirit may manifest to men. The glory of the Lord shall return again.
Glory! 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 Gl
to be trying, somebody ought to be getting an interpretation of that. Hallelujah, hallelujah. 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 When I was in the Dominican Republic, the first year I was there, Brother Green and I went to Guerrero for a service one night. They had tarps tied up in trees. and so I preached there that night, and it was dead. But the at the end of that service, I asked the people, the women, that back then all the women's wearing these head napkins, you know, they're trying to fulfill the scriptures on women praying with their head covered. And I asked them, I said, anyone that wants prayer, I don't want to leave here tonight. If you need prayer, I want to pray for you. And they come down. A few of them came down. This old man came down first. He was in his 70s. He was the first one I prayed for. I walked up and put my hand on him, and the minute I put my hand on him, he jumped. And when he did, he just threw his hands up there, and he just started praising God in clear English. Just said, "Oh, Jesus, I praise your wonderful, holy, glorious name. Oh, Lamb of God, I'll glorify you." He just went on and on glorifying God in clear English. And Brother Green jumped back. He said, "My God, Brother Smith, he's talking in English." I said, "I know it." And so I thought, you know, well, maybe the guy knows how to speak English, you know. So anyway, but that a move of God began to move in among them. And I don't know how many. It seemed like the whole house got prayed for. And the Spirit of God got to falling in there. It just was that way. The first time I went to, it didn't matter. I went in a Baptist church one night. Ann was with me that night. I'm almost sure she was. Where are you, honey? Was you in that Baptist church with me where the little crippled boy's daddy was the pastor of that Baptist church and I preached that night? It's deader than a doornail. And I'm telling you, them people, that it exploded. It looked like a bomb went off in there. People was laid out everywhere. You just couldn't believe. It's like we stand there like, what has happened? What happened? What did I do? You know, well... Anyway, after that service, it just the Spirit of God just started moving. After that service, Brother Green and I got in the van. We backed out, started to leave. It's dark. And Brother Green stopped, and I said, what's the matter? And he said, "There's that old man." He said, I gotta talk to him. He jumped out of the van, went over there, and he started talking to him in Spanish. And in a few minutes, boy, both of them was praising God and shouting and going on, and they come back, and I said, what happened? He said, I asked him, could he speak English? And he said, no, he was sorry. He couldn't say nothing in English. He said, I said, man, did you know you just glorified God in clear English tonight? He said, he got so excited about that. He said, we got to praising God. And he said, I forgot you was over here, Brother Smith. Anyway, the saints, that's coming. I'm telling you, the gifts of the Spirit's coming. You're going to see people. I can tell you the interpretation of that. I got it, but I'd like to see some of the rest of y'all. I hate for y'all to me be doing and saying everything. But I can tell you, the Lord said, I am coming, even tonight, even this night. You open your eyes and look, I'm already coming. And I'm coming and have had patience for the precious fruit of the latter and the early and the latter rain of this house. And I am coming. Prepare yourselves. Get your hearts ready. Dedicate yourself even more, because I'm coming. I'm coming in a way
Men don't know and can't see what I'm doing. But if you'll open your eyes, if you'll allow me to open your hearts and your ears, I'll come unto you. I'll appear to you in a way that you know not. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, God's coming again. The Lord is coming. Hallelujah. That's His holy name. He's coming in power and in glory. Hallelujah. Oh, bless His wonderful name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to be part of that precious fruit that He's been longing, long-suffering for. Hallelujah. Bless His wonderful name. Oh, glory. My God, this is going to get good. Don't get out of it. This is just now starting to get good again. Woo! Glorious things ahead. Get ready for them. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Bless His holy name. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He also said, in times past you've been afraid to open your mouth and share these things that I've revealed and kept only unto you. But it's time, it's my time that open your mouth and begin to speak, because I'm touching lives and hearts and they're ready to receive them. Begin to open your mouth. Begin to share this with others. You'll see I'm touching them. I'm reaching out to others. And I want to use you. Hallelujah. Let me prepare your hearts and let me use you. For truly, the labor is great, but the workers are few. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Lamb of God, Lamb of God, bless His holy name. Oh, glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Ishalabahori andalabahata. Indalalalabahoria kasita. Hallelujah. Indalalalabahoria kasabahaya. Oh, riakaramahasa talalalabahoria. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. My God, my God. All right, next Sunday night is the youth going to be youth night. I think it's time for the youth to help us kick it up another notch. We're trying to catch up with the Dominicans. We're going to see if we can't get this thing up on, moved up on another level. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. All right, shake hands and be friendly. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory.